Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in our series called The Invisible War. In these lessons, we'll take an in-depth look at the unseen world of good and evil and how the spiritual side of life directly impacts our day-to-day existence in ways we never imagined. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how you can get the all-new Silver Scripture Box with a set of 52 new Bible verse memorization cards based on this series, The Invisible War. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 for more information. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part three of a message called Making the Hard Changes in Me.
Philippians chapter 2. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Now, I want you to circle the phrases work out and work in. This is the balance. There's a working out and there's a working in when you want to make changes in your life. The working out is your part and the working in is God's part. We are to work out what God is working in our lives. Now, I want to explain this verse in detail because I don't want you to misunderstand it. Continue to work out your salvation. Notice it doesn't say continue to work for your salvation. It says work out, not for. Nowhere in the Bible are you told to work for your salvation. You cannot earn your way to heaven. You cannot buy your way into heaven. You cannot deserve your way into heaven. It is a gift. And the Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace, God's gift, we are saved through faith. And even that is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so nobody can brag about it. In other words, you cannot work your way to heaven. You cannot earn your way to heaven. The Bible says over and over, it is a free gift. But once you have received that gift that you did not earn, then you are to work out your salvation. Not work for, but work out. What does it mean to work out? Have you ever done a workout? Some of you obviously know. Okay. Have you ever done a, what do you do at a workout? When you work out, you go to a gym, and when you go to a gym, you don't go to invent muscle. You go to develop the muscle God already gave you. You cannot create a bicep out of nothing. But when you go and you work out in a gym, you are developing the muscle God gave you. And when you work out your salvation, you're not getting your salvation. You are developing, you're cultivating, you're understanding the salvation God gave you. Does that make sense? Work out does not mean work for. It means you develop what God has already given you. My wife, Kay, loves to do jigsaw puzzles. And she'll buy one of these 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, and she'll come home, and about half the time she'll throw it out on the kitchen table, and it's just a jumble of mess. And then her job, and she enjoys doing this, is to work out the puzzle. Now, when you work out a puzzle, did you create it? No, you're just putting it together. She doesn't create the pieces of the puzzle. She's not the puzzle creator. Working out a puzzle means I'm taking all the pieces that were given to me by the creator of the puzzle, and I'm putting them together, and then when it's all done, you go, oh, look at that big picture. Isn't that beautiful? And that's what working out your salvation means. Many of you don't understand. Your life is like a jumble of puzzle pieces. And you got a pile of them. You go, I don't know what my life's supposed to look like. I have no idea what my life's supposed to look like. I just got this puzzle of pieces, and I got this piece and this piece and this piece. And you start putting them together. And when you get it all put together, by the end of your life, oh, that's the picture. That's the big picture. You don't see the big picture yet. Now, it helps in putting a puzzle together to have a little picture on the cover so you can see what it's supposed to look like, right? This will give you a picture of your life. And the more you read this book, the more you're going to understand the pieces of the puzzle and what your life is to look like, because it is to look like Jesus Christ in you. but you work it out by putting the pieces of the puzzle together. Now, notice it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What does that mean? Am I supposed to be afraid of God? Am I supposed to be trembling at God? I'm a believer. No, of course not. He's not saying be afraid of God, but being afraid that you'll miss God's best. Be afraid that you don't take the time to put the puzzle together. Be afraid and tremble that you'd waste your life, that you could go your entire life and never know God's purpose. He's saying, you need to take this serious. You need to take your life serious because you've only got one life. And it's going to have eternal implications whether you put the puzzle together or not. And if you're so busy working on making an income and working on being popular and working on, and you're not working out your life, and you're not dealing with these defects, and you're not growing spiritually, you're missing the point. You need to be working out and be afraid, tremble, that you might go through life and waste your life. That's what you ought to be afraid of, that you didn't ever get to the point of understanding, why am I here? What on earth am I here for? Now it says, while you're doing the workout, it says, God is working in you. You know that word, phrase, working in? Do you know what it is in Greek? It's the word energos. It's the word we get energy from. Have you ever seen the advertisement with the energos bunny? The energizer bunny? That's what this word comes from. It says God gives you the energy, the energos. He works in. He's putting energy in your life to change the things you could never change. And notice what he says. It is God who works in you. He's given you the energy to will and to act. Circle that on your outline, to will and to act. God gives you two kinds of energy, the desire and the power, to will and to act. The answer to changing your life is not willpower, it's God giving you the will and the power. The change in your life is not gonna come from, I'm just gonna force myself to be happy. Ain't gonna happen. It's not willpower, it's a matter of God giving you the will and the power.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you'd like to reach out to Rick to let him know how this broadcast has blessed you, go ahead and email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com.
Pastor Rick is always reminding us about the importance of getting God's Word into our hearts. That's why he's created a brand new version of the Daily Hope Scripture Box. And it is beautiful. The new scripture box is silver with the look and feel of leather, and there's an embossed Bible verse on top. It's designed to hold the Daily Hope full-color Bible verse cards that will help you memorize God's Word. There are 52 new Bible verse cards included, which all feature brand new artwork and graphic designs. In fact, these cards are so beautiful, you can display them around your home. You can even frame them. This set of scripture cards is based on the series Invisible War. Rick picked out 52 Bible verses that will help you win the spiritual battles you face every day. Oh, and this new scripture box makes a great gift too. This practical spiritual growth tool is yours today when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or 800-600-5004. Thank you so much for your support. There are only 3 days left to get this awesome study tool, so contact us today.
Once again, here's Rick.
The answer to changing your life is not willpower, it's God giving you the will and the power. The change in your life is not going to come from, I'm just going to force myself to be happy. Ain't going to happen. It's not willpower, it's a matter of God giving you the will and the power to do it. That leads us to the third change, and it's the next verse. Verse 23 tells us that change requires new thinking. Change in your life requires new thinking. Now, we've talked about this a lot, and we're going to continue, because the battle for sin in your life and the battle for the defects in your life, so you can kind of be a better person as time goes on, always is a mental battle. It starts in the mind. It's won or lost there. Let's see, how can I say this? You aren't what you think you are, but what you think you are. You aren't what you think you are, but what you think you are. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. The Bible says, out of the issues heart are the issues of life. That the way you think, we talked about this many times, the way you think determines the way you feel, and the way you feel determines the way you act. If you want to change the way you act, you don't like the way you act in a crowd. You know, you act nervous, you act goofy, you don't know what to say. If you want to change the way you act, you've got to change the way you feel. Because if you're acting nervous, it's because you feel nervous. But if you want to change the way you feel, you've got to change the way you think. You can't focus on the feeling. You can't fight a feeling. You can't force a feeling. But you can change the way you feel by changing the way you think. Because every feeling is determined by a thought. Now, if you say, I'm not acting very loving to my wife because I don't feel very loving to my wife, you need to change the way you think about your wife. And that is a choice. You can't control your feelings, but you can control your thoughts. And if you change your thoughts and you start thinking loving thoughts toward your husband, toward your spouse, toward whoever, it's going to change the way you feel, and that's going to change the way you act. Now, this is what the Bible says in verse 23. There must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. You're not going to change until your thoughts change, until your attitudes change. This is why a daily quiet time is important. Why every day you need to spend 4, 5, 10 minutes at least where you get alone with God for 5 minutes and you sit down and you be quiet and you open the Bible and you read the Bible a little bit and you talk to God about whatever's on your mind. That's called prayer. You listen to God through the Bible. You talk to God in prayer. You just be quiet. You say, God, is there anything you want to say to me? That is the spiritual renewal in your mind. If you're not doing that, you're not going to have the power to change. Now, you know what a change of mind is called in Scripture? You know what the theological term is? It is the word repentance. To repent literally means to change your mind. Now, a lot of people think repent is a bad word. No, it's a good word. It's a positive word. People think repentance is this guy trying to scare people, you know, out of hell into heaven. It's the guy with a long beard holding a sign on the street corner saying, you know, the end of the world is coming, repent. And he's got on a sandwich board that says, you know, repent, turn or burn. You're going to die and fry while we go to the sky. No, that's not repentance. Repent. The word repent actually is the Greek word metanoia. Metanoia means to change your mind. That's what it means, to change your mind. It means a mental U-turn. And it means when I repented, I changed my mind. I turned from life, from death to life. I turned from sin to forgiveness. I turned from guilt to peace of mind. I returned from pressure to joy. I turned from hell to heaven. I turned from my way to God's way. I turned from stress to confidence. It was the most positive change in my life when I repented. I would have done it years sooner if I knew what it involved. It wasn't something I regretted doing, repented. It was the greatest decision of my life. I turned from regret to sheer peace of mind and forgiveness. And when I repented, I changed my mind about everything. I changed my mind about me. I changed the way I saw God. He's not mad at me. He's mad about me. I changed the way I saw life. I changed the way I think about money. I changed the way I think about heaven and hell. I changed the way I think about sex. I changed the way I think about the problems I face in life. I changed the way I think about other people. I changed the way I think about everything in life, my parents, my past, my present, my future. That is what it means to repent, a mental U-turn. How many of you have a GPS in your car? Okay, a bunch of you do, all right. Some of you, you've got ones that speak aloud, mine does. And if I'm out there and I make a defective turn, it will often tell me, make a U-turn as quickly as possible. Now, the wisdom shows up in my life on how quickly I make a U-turn. And when God says to repent, he's saying, I want you to make a U-turn as quickly as possible. You're headed down the wrong track. You're going the wrong way. It's not going to take you where you want to go. It says you've got to change the way you're thinking. And you've got to fill your mind with the truth, not the lies. Now, why is this important to learn to think in new ways? You even have to think in new ways about your defects. Would you write this down? Defects are often strengths being misused. That's a new way of thinking. My defects are often my strengths being misused. You've probably never thought of that. But that's a repentance. That's a change of mind. My defects are often the strengths God gave me being misused. For instance, maybe God gave you a strength of discernment, and you've got a phony meter in your brain that can smell out a fake just like that. And you know, when you get around some poser and your phony meter goes ding, 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 this guy's a fake, this girl's a fake. You know, by the way, the only people that posers impress are other posers, because everybody else can see through it. But maybe you have a natural discernment. That's a good thing. But if you don't know how to use it correctly, incorrectly used, you'll get judgmental. You'll be critical. You'll be tempted to judge other people all the time. It's a good quality being misused. Maybe you have a strength in detail. And you're detail-oriented. And you could see details and you notice things that other people... Thank God we have detailed people in the world. I'm not one of them. But thank God, if I'm having brain surgery, I want that surgeon to be a detailed person. I don't want him to go, oh, what's that piece? Oh, forget it. Throw it over there, you know. We don't need that part, you know. Just cram it back there in the corner. No, I want my brain surgeon to be as detailed as possible, okay? But if you're a detailed person and you misuse that God-given gift, you're going to become picky. You're going to become finicky. You're going to be unpleasable, and you are difficult to live with because you're a detailed person. On the other hand, you may be a big picture person, and thank God for big picture people. We need people who can see the big picture, people who can look 3, 5, 10 years ahead. I'm a big picture kind of person, and I'm always trying to think ahead for you because some of you aren't. And if you're a big picture person, that's a good thing. But if you don't understand the weakness behind that, you will overlook people because you're always looking at the picture. Now, God loves to put opposites together and watch the sparks fly. So detail people always marry big picture people. You know, as I've said many times, when people, before marriage, opposites attract, and then after marriage, opposites attack. And all those things that you thought were so cool about your spouse now irritate you to death. And before you got married, you go, man, how does she think like that? That is so cute. You know, what attracted you to your boyfriend or your girlfriend is they're different from you. It is the differences that attract you. You go, wow, I've never seen anybody who thinks that way. It's just so fascinating. Now, 6 months into the relationship, you're going, could you be a little bit more like me? I mean, that's irritating now. And so maybe you're an amiable person. That's your natural giftedness. And you're like, nobody bugs you. It's easy to get along with you. You can just go along to get along. You're very amiable. But if you use that incorrectly, you're going to let people walk all over you. And you're going to be a doormat. And it actually becomes a defect. A strength can become a defect. So you got to change the way you think. Philippians 2 verse 5 says this. Let the same mind and attitude be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Now, God wants you to learn to think like Jesus. How do you do that? Well, again, it's a choice. You've got to make a choice and say, Lord, how would Jesus think about this? And the more you fill your mind with the Word of God, the easier that's going to be. All right, quickly, write these other three down. The fourth change that is required is that change requires the Holy Spirit. You need more power than just willpower in your life. You need God's power in your life. Again, we talked about this in detail last week. You might get that message in Romans chapter 8. Verse 24 says this, you must put on your new nature. And you can't do that with willpower. You must put on your new nature because you are a new person created in God's likeness, righteous, holy, and true. Now, what he's talking about here is what the Bible calls the fruit of the Spirit. These are the qualities that God puts in your life when the Holy Spirit lives through you. And the Bible says there are 9 of those qualities. They are love and joy and peace and gentleness and patience and kindness and goodness and meekness and self-control and faithfulness. There are 9 of these qualities. And how does God produce the fruit in your life? Not by willpower. You don't go out and say, I'm going to be a more joyful person. Doesn't work. I'm going to be a more loving person. Willpower does not work. Fruit is an inside job. The Holy Spirit has to grow it on the inside. You trying to say, I'm going to be more patient. I'm going to be more loving. It's like saying, I think I'm going to go out and tie a bunch of apples out in my tree outside. And you got these apples tied on. I'm going to go out and take my, you know, the eucalyptus tree in the front. And we're going to tie some oranges on it and call it an orange tree. It doesn't work that way. Fruit can only come from the inside. It's got to be His Spirit living through you. Now, how does the Holy Spirit work in your life? The answer is gradually, a little bit at a time.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. Now, if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, Pastor Rick is always reminding us about the importance of getting God's Word into our hearts. That's why he created a brand new version of the Daily Hope Scripture Box, and it's beautiful. The new Scripture Box is silver, with the look and feel of leather, and there's an embossed Bible verse on top. It's designed to hold the Daily Hope full-color Bible verse cards that will help you memorize God's Word. There are 52 new Bible verse cards included, which all feature brand new artwork and graphic designs. In fact, these cards are so beautiful, you can display them around your home. You can even frame them. This set of scripture cards is based on the series, The Invisible War. Rick picked out 52 Bible verses that will help you win the spiritual battles you face every day. Oh, and the scripture box? It makes a great gift, too. This practical spiritual growth tool is yours today when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Call 800-600-5004 to get this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com today. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. There are only 3 days left to get this awesome study tool, so contact us today. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, I love getting these letters from you, and let me just read one for you today. It's from a woman named Lauren. She says, Pastor Rick, every day when I'm doing my routine tasks or I'm commuting to work, I'm listening to the Daily Hope podcast online. I listen and I re-listen and I re-listen again to all the messages, knowing the value that they've had on my life. Rick, these messages have transformed my heart from a bitter, hardened, distrustful place toward not only people but God, to being in a place where I now have joy daily. I've got a joy that is not possible without God. And not only has my life been transformed, I've seen my family's life transformed. Rick, it is through all that God has done and continues to do in this broadcast and through your life and ministry that my family has been transformed. I am excited to say that I'm now a donor to your podcast, starting with this paycheck. I've been so blessed by all you've given to us as listeners that I'm now blessed to give back. God bless you, Lauren. Well, Lauren, by the way, Lauren, if you were my daughter, you'd be Lauren Warren. Thanks for the encouragement. I'm so glad to hear how God is working in your family. And by the way, thank you for your contribution. It allows us to take this good news to other Laurens around the world and other people around the world. Your prayers of support matter. Thank you for listening. And by the way, everybody, God bless you. And join me next time.
as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.